Fall is the time to plant shrubs and perennials for next year. And as people are planning, an entomologist wants them to think about their yards as more than a collection of pretty flowers or lush green lawn, but as a habitat. Doug Tallamy is a professor in the Department of Entomology and Wildlife Ecology at the University of Delaware, and the author of 4 books about nature. And he started a sort of movement to convince people to give up some of their grassy lawn and instead plant native trees, shrubs, and plants. Why should people choose native plants instead of a lawn?
There are many reasons. We've got to start right at the beginning. We humans are part of nature. We depend on the life support systems that nature delivers us every day. But the way we landscape excludes nature and pretends that we are separate from nature. Lawn doesn't do any of the things that we need every landscape to do. And there's 4 of them I always talk about. That would be sequester carbon, manage the watershed, support a food web, and support pollinators. Lawn is the worst plant choice for all of those. And we've got over 40 million acres of lawn. We have this notion that what's happening in parks and preserves is good enough. Well, it's obviously not good enough because we just lost 3 billion breeding birds in North America. We've got global insect decline. The UN says we're going to lose 1 million species in the next 20 years. That's not working. So we now need to do conservation outside of parks and preserves. That means our private property. And lawn is the lowest hanging fruit that's out there because it's an ecological dead zone.
In your book, Nature's Best Hope, you introduce the concept of the homegrown national park. What is that and what does it look like?
If we have 40 million acres, and that's a 2005 statistic, so you know we have more than that now. What if we cut that area in half and replanted it in productive plants to produce those ecosystem services, to regenerate biodiversity instead of destroy it? That would give us 20 million acres to put towards conservation where there's now lawn. So I started adding up, how big is 20 million acres? And I started adding up all the major national parks in the country. It's bigger than all of them combined, including Denali, which is huge. And I said, well, gee, we're doing this at home. Let's call this Homegrown National Park. So it looks like that oak tree that's in your front yard. It looks like plantings under that tree, ground covers, wild ginger, mayapple, your spring ephemerals, any productive native plant that is not lawn.
You talked about ecological services. Can you just say a little bit more about what those are?
They're all the things that keep us alive on planet Earth. How about oxygen? Pretty important. Plants make oxygen. How about clean water? Plants capture the water as it falls from the sky. They slow its journey to the sea where it becomes too salty to use. They allow it to infiltrate into the soil, which keeps it clean. They prevent floods. The biggest thing in my view that they do, well, 2 big things. You don't have the flowering plants unless you have the pollinators that allow them to reproduce. So this is a feedback loop. You need the plants to have the pollinators so that you have the plants. But if you don't have the plants the pollinators have specialized on, you don't have the pollinators. And they also support the food web. This is the one everybody skips. That chickadee that wants to breed in your yard requires 6,000 to 9,000 caterpillars just to get their babies to the point where they leave the nest. And then they continue to feed them caterpillars another 21 days. You're talking about tens of thousands of caterpillars to make one clutch of a tiny bird. And think of all the birds out there. And that's just one group that eats insects. Those insects come from native plants, not from the non-native plants that our insects are unable to eat because they don't have the adaptations to eat them. Why do we need these things? Because insects are the little things that run the world. And why do we need birds? Why do we need the other animals? They're the things that run the ecosystems that produce these ecosystem services. Every time we lose a species from our ecosystem, it's more unstable and less productive. When you look at your yard and you've got, you know, 1/1,000th of the number of species in your yard that you had before it was your yard, that's ecosystem destruction. And, you know, if you're the only person that does it, that's okay. But when we do it over half the country, it's not okay. So, you know, this notion that we're separate from nature is what's killing us. We are totally dependent on nature. We have to learn to live together because we need ecosystem services everywhere, not just in parks and preserves. And we all have this notion that nature is there for entertainment, but that's it. That's killing us.
I know that there is some pushback in the ecology world about this sort of intense focus on native plants. Does it have to be all or nothing? Does it have to be native plants? What about other plants that are non-native that sort of are in the same family as native plants or behave like native plants?
We have been studying that issue for the last 15 years. And so why native plants? Because our insects are adapted to eating native plants. So let's, I use the monarch as an example. It's a host plant specialist on milkweed. You can have all the crepe myrtle, you can have all the buckthorn, all the multiflora rose and all the burning bush and porcelain berry and all these things that have escaped and displaced our native plants in our natural areas, and you won't make a single monarch. That's true for 90% of the insects that eat plants. And the people giving pushback against, the ecologists giving pushback against native plants are not entomologists. They're botanists who don't look beyond the plant. They're not looking at the food web. They think if a plant makes a berry, that's good enough. We need plants that make the insects and the berries, not just the berries. Birds don't reproduce on berries. They reproduce on insects. 96% of our birds are rearing their young on insects. And I talk about birds because they're the charismatic megafauna these days. It's not that they're the only things that eat insects. Insects are a critical component of the food web and every terrestrial food, but even aquatic food webs. What about non-natives that act like natives? That's great. And if they all did, I wouldn't oppose it at all. But show me that list of the non-natives that act like natives. We did a common garden experiment looking at congeners. So things like Norway maple versus red maple. Norway maple is in the maple family. It's Acer. It's in the same genus. Does that support as much as our native maples? We did that with 18 congeneric comparisons. And on average, even among congeners, closely related individuals, it reduced insect use by 65%? Yeah. So it's not as bad as when they're not related, because then it reduces it by whatever it was, 78% or something. So, some insects eat some non-natives, but it's not nearly what we need to have viable food webs. And my question is, what is the benefit? It's a cost-benefit thing. The benefit is, here's a pretty plant versus wrecking the ecosystem and having it, some probability of it becoming an invasive. Our major invasive woody plants are all ornamentals that have escaped from us bringing it in. And along with that, we brought a whole bunch of diseases that have devastated our forests. The cost is extraordinary compared to the benefit of being able to use a Chinese plant. There are some exceptions like willows. The species reduction when you use weeping willow versus the native willows is not that much. And crab apples, pretty much the same thing, because anything that hybridizes with a native easily means it's so closely related, the chemistry is insects interact with their plants through chemistry. And if the chemistry is so similar that they don't recognize it, they'll use it. And that's good. But most don't do that. Those are exceptions. I always hear about those exceptions, but we can't landscape based on exceptions, because that means the general rule is it won't work.
We always have the peony example in among our staff. A lot of us have gardens and we think about planting native plants. And last year, one of us said, well, what about if I just want a couple of peonies in my garden? Can I have a couple of peonies and the rest native plants?
Yes, you can. One of the most important studies we've done was done by my grad student, Desiree Narango in Washington, D.C., looking at what kind of landscape do you need to sustain a chickadee population and what kind of landscape will not sustain a chickadee population. So it was a four-year study, NSF-funded, published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And what she found is that when you exceed 30%, now chickadees forage on woody plants, so that's what she looked at. But when you exceed 30% of the plant biomass in your yard as being woody non-natives, that's when the chickadee population becomes unsustainable. That's when birth rates do not equal death rates. So it gets smaller every year. But it does suggest there's an area for compromise. You can have your ginkgo, you can have your peonies, you can have these other things, as long as they don't exceed 30% of the plant biomass. Will it be a stronger food web and be able to support maybe more than one chickadee if you have fewer than 30% non-natives? Yes, but it does give you, you know, particularly the herbaceous showy plants. The vast amount of the food produced for our food webs comes from woody plants. So, you know, if you have that, and there's nothing that beats oaks in 84% of the counties of North America. So if you have, you know, one or more oaks in your yard, you can have your peony. It's okay.
Thank you. Doug Tallamy is an entomologist at the University of Delaware and an author. His most recent book is The Nature of Oaks, The Rich Ecology of Our Most Essential Native Trees. He says you don't even need a lawn or a yard to make a difference. Monarch butterflies can find a large pot of milkweed on a city terrace. We have resources for finding native plants at our website and more about conservation there too. That's at alleghenyfront.org/wildpa.